2-2. Well hit down the left field line. Way back and gone.
Welcome back to Walk It Off. I'm Dani Wexelman in studio with Gemma Kaneko and Ashley Chavez, who's out in California. There's a lot of weird things going on in California right now, but we'll get to those in a little bit. There's a lot of things happening because we are basically in the thick of the madness right now. We have football and hockey's about to start. Obviously, baseball is going on. The NBA is coming up. It's really crazy right now. The Indians, we are in the middle of an historic run for the Indians. They're at 19 straight wins, going for the 20th. That would be the AL best if they can get there. The Indians have no more room on their Twitter account for their W's. The Dodgers extended their losing streak. So that is a...
witchcraft.
Yeah, that's crazy. No one, if you would have put money down on that, you would be a millionaire. If you put money, yeah, Ash's face over there. Beth Mowins called the Chargers-Broncos game last night, the first woman to call play-by-play on Monday Night Football. Baker Mayfield, a rising star in college football, Heisman candidate, apologized for planting that flag after the Sooners beat the Buckeyes. Steph Curry spoke up for Colin Kaepernick, so it's just been a trail of all these big-time names saying something for him because he's not really speaking right now. And Roger Goodell is, quote, not a football expert. So we have a lot of things to get through. Ash, anything you'd like to just say off the top? Anything on your mind?
Right now it's a little overcast outside, so I think it might rain. So I think maybe the rains are coming down from San Francisco last night because that was insane. I didn't get to watch a lick of the Dodgers-Giants game.
Oh, because it started at
10:30.
Yeah, and then resumed at 1:50.
That's ridiculous. Yeah.
A.M. Eastern.
I mean, well, to be totally honest, yes, exactly. That's insane. If I was on the East Coast still, there would be no chance. But I thought it was for sure called.
Yeah.
We're close enough that we could fit in another game. So I just gave up on it. And then I found out later on that the game actually did happen in the wee hours of the night. So crazy.
I'd like to give a quick shout out to the people who had to be in New York cutting those highlights last night. They stayed until 6 a.m. in the morning. So shout out to the floor that I work on.
Oh, wow.
Because the reason you can see those terrible highlights, not that they're terrible, but the teams are terrible, is because of them. So anyway, Gemma, what's going on in your world?
I mean, I'm just consistently, I think this has been a very strange September for baseball, and I love it.
You love it.
I do love it. I mean, who could have predicted that the Astros and Cleveland would basically pull even? Who could have predicted that the Dodgers would take such a nosedive? So into it.
Yeah.
Now so into the long shot of them having to somehow, like, play hard for the division lead. Like, they haven't had to do anything. Like,
no heavy lifting all season.
Yeah, I'm like, now I'm into it.
I love it.
I want the drama.
Okay, all right, let's kick things off with Trend or Trash. We're going back to the NFL, Ezekiel Elliott. So there's a lot of, like, big words and a lot of terms that I don't understand. So Rena helped dumb it down for me, and I also tried to dumb it down for myself. So basically what's going on is the NFL wants to appeal Ezekiel Elliott's injunction to the Fifth Circuit, and the injunction is blocking the 6-game suspension that the league slapped down on him. So in other words, this case is going to take months to go through, and the process and the decision. So Elliott will basically get to play the full NFL season. Trend or trash? I mean, trend or trash? all of this. This madness. I don't even know how else to say it.
It's madness.
Yeah, Gemma? Yeah.
I'm going to trash this. Like, I'm not going to trash the fact that we should talk about it because we should talk about it. Like people should be discussing this and, like, how the disciplinary process works, especially in, like, any sports league, basically. Like, what rights does everyone have involved? Like, it's important to kind of know that and to be clear about it. But that said, Ezekiel Elliott should definitely be facing consequences for his actions in this life. Like, that's...
This season,
yes. And it's kind of strange to me to see who does or doesn't have the power here. It's also hard for me to like defend anything that the NFL ever does, like as an organization.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing that's like, ah, oh, what is this like race to the bottom?
It's tough because
situation.
Like we never want to give extra privilege to any to athletes, right? We want them to have to go through like if you do something wrong and you're not an athlete or you are an athlete, it should be the same, right? It shouldn't be any different. So yeah. Technically, this is the same, right? And so. It's hard to be like, okay, speed it up because he shouldn't get to play. It's a privilege to play. He shouldn't get to do it. But at the same time, it's like, but he should be treated the same way as everybody
right.
else.
It's also, I think, hard to put any trust in the NFL as an institution itself, right? Yeah. So like,
except for they are asking them to speed this up.
Right. Well, the whole situation is like with the NFL, who they generally don't have like any kind of consistency when it comes to these sorts of suspensions.
Yeah.
So I can kind of understand why someone's legal team would be like, oh, excuse you, sir, Roger.
Right.
Like, let's hold on. Like,
sir
I can
Roger,
kind of get it.
Expert.
Yes, non-football expert. So yeah. I kind of get it. It's so thorny to tease out what is the correct path here. So I think that maybe I'm going to change what I'm saying from trash to trend.
Okay.
And saying like maybe a lot of people involved. I would like to trash them, but we should talk about this so that we can figure out like the correct pathway to understand who has what coming to them, et cetera.
Ashley.
Yeah. I think this whole situation is really funny because the NFL is just so discombobulated that now everything is turning on them constantly. It is kind of fun to watch, but I do want to trend this more than just that it's entertaining right now, but that we should be discussing these things. And also, hopefully someone will fix the system because it's just madness. The fact that he's going to be playing an entire season and that that's easily possible is just crazy.
The game is – it's not even about the game anymore. Like, why – what is happening in the football world? It's not about who's scoring touchdowns or, you know, this or that. It's literally about everything that's happening off the field. Like, they kind of – I mean, we talked about this, become like a mockery of themselves. But, like, it's not even about the game anymore. No one's paying attention to the game because of all these other distractions going on. It's taking away from – there are good things about the game. There are certain aspects of the game that are good. There are different things that I'm – you know, we don't have to get into. But there are good things, and no one will ever be able to see that because it's all buried under these distractions. So that's, like, another thing, too, I was thinking about, that no one cares about the game anymore. We're only focusing on what's going on outside. So
and your fantasy team.
Those are important.
Individual
too.
Players. Yeah.
Fantasy team. Okay. Let's move on. Let's move on to some baseball. So the Indians again, 19-game win streak. Unbelievable. Really cool. Really cool to I feel like be an adult and witness this because you appreciate it more. But with the advancement of analytics, the Indians win streak is more impressive today than it would have been 10 years ago. Trend or trash? Gemma.
I'm going to trash this. I don't think it's necessarily more impressive because of analytics. I don't even think it's more impressive than the A's win streak, 20-game win streak, simply because of strength of schedule. Like, I don't even think it has anything to do with analytics at this point. Like, this team is good. We already knew they were good. They were good last year, right? It's not like they were nothing last year and they suddenly were
–
yeah, yeah, they did pretty well.
They did okay for themselves.
Yes, it's not like they were nothing last year and suddenly, like, there is this moment of like, oh, yes, let's look at our spreadsheets and now we're going to make this team, like, they were already really good. So it's not as surprising that this could happen, but it's also because they're playing a lot of bad teams. So you beat the White Sox and the Tigers like 10 times. So what? Like, I don't know. I feel like our softball team here could probably beat the White Sox and the Tigers. And I am a Tigers fan.
Lehigh Valley's
yes.
Team could beat them.
So to me, it's like, also for, to like a greater degree, That to me is more what this win streak is about than anything else. Not to take anything away from Cleveland because I think they're a good team,
right. But
they are playing teams that are not good.
Okay.
More than anything else.
All right.
Yes.
Ash, what do you think?
I can see that. I agree with Gemma with that, but I think that we should be, well, I guess trend it no matter what because it's fun. It's a fun story. And like we were saying earlier, September's been nuts this season. But I think that it is a little bit more impressive just because everything kind of is, or at least more interesting, because if you want to, you can just really dive in. We have it all on a beautiful website for us to dive in and see how this one compares to that one, you know, as far as win streak goes and stuff like that. Yeah. So I think it is just more interesting all around. I agree with the strength of schedule thing, and it's funny because that's another factor that can easily be missed, which is kind of the argument between chemistry versus the analytics and stuff like that. You know, there's always some, like, there's another level to this that describes this,
the intangibles.
So the intangibles, thank you. So yes, it is interesting that strength and schedule will play such a big role in this. But either way, it's interesting, more interesting because of analytics. So I think it is better in that way.
You know what is interesting, also interesting because of analytics and strength schedule, is the Dodgers losing streak.
Yes.
Because, like, yes, they are playing teams that are bad and losing.
Right. That's so the other hand of that clock. Right?
That is interesting. Yes, because it's not like they're coming up against, well, I mean, like, you know, like, Rockies were good, but the Rockies were slumping. So, like, losing to the Rockies is...
Swept by the Diamondbacks.
Well, the Diamondbacks are good, so I understand that. And they're surging. But, like, getting swept by the Padres?
Yeah.
Like, losing to the Giants?
Yeah.
Like, these are things that... you have to ask questions about, right? Because this is the age of analytics. And like a month ago, we were talking about how the Dodgers could be the best team ever.
Yeah.
And like how it really does appear that way. And like there are guys on that team who definitely do fit that profile of
team
like
of destiny.
Who could have been in a movie like, oh, no one cares about this guy, Justin Turner, but we do, you know, like that would be in the movie.
Totally.
But now we all have to be like, ah, I'm interested in that from an analytical point of view.
Yeah, that is the other side of it.
Yeah.
And they're on the wrong side of that streak in the advancement of analytics that you would think would help them not – that we would be able to avoid 10-game losing streaks based on numbers, but apparently not because the intangibles are outweighing any kind of number. I think that – I don't think it's more impressive. I think it's more interesting that they're having the streak now as compared to the A's, which is 21. I said 20 earlier.
Why do you think it's more interesting?
I think because we have more information. You have more tools in your toolbox to be better, to hit better, to pitch better. And so it's more interesting. And I think also this team, the Indians team, is really interesting too. And I think that they're going to do what the Royals did and come back and win. So...
I'm still all in on the Astros.
All right. I've switched my pick like 100 times, so I'm bandwagoning really hard right now.
I think that Ashley just cursed the Dodgers. I don't think it has anything to do with analytics.
Listen, I said yesterday.
What do you think I've been doing this entire time? I'm letting them win, getting their hopes up, and then striking while the iron's hot.
Wow. This is some serious revenge. This is like a Shakespearean level of revenge.
And
I'm really
guys,
impressed.
It rained in San Francisco.
I'm going to do it.
They had a weather delay. Okay, like that is bizarre. And I tweeted out, I was like, it's raining. That means the Dodgers aren't going to win for the rest of the season. And Mike Petriello did not like that at all. He responded back with some kind of Justin Turner gif, and I died laughing. And then, like, I loved seeing my favorite part about last night for baseball wise was watching Ken Gernick tweet, like, it's pouring. It's raining. The game has stopped. Like, just straight to the point. Like, no flowers. Bad things are happening right now. But anyway.
Witchcraft.
Witchcraft and wizardry. Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to our quick hits. Got to talk about the Nats, first team to clinch this season. No brainer, right? I mean, they're in the easiest division.
Yeah.
The dummy division.
Rude.
Yeah. That's nice. I took that back. Sorry.
Hilarious.
Like, it's like
I liked it so
it's
much.
Like a AAA division, honestly.
Wow. Ouch.
Yeah. So I would hope that they would do that, but I don't think it means anything for the postseason. I don't think they're going to fare well against the Diamondbacks, the Rockies, maybe the Dodgers, but I don't think they would fare well against those other teams.
I still think the Nationals are a good team.
Yeah.
I genuinely do. I think that it's people haven't been paying attention to them very much because the division has been has been playing so poorly.
Right.
But I do think that they are going to be an interesting team to watch. I do think, like, I want to get to a place.
Like, sneaky, like,
yes,
low-key good?
Yes, I do. I think they're low-key good just Star because
horse.
No one cares because...
No one's
because,
paying attention.
Because it's not as exciting. Like, there's
no East Coast bias over here, right?
Right, well, because there's no division race there. Yeah. There's not even, like... They didn't have the benefit of being historically good like the Dodgers.
Right.
And they don't even have, like, the dubious benefit of people paying attention to them because they started tanking, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's not what it is.
Yep.
So I do think that the Nationals are a good team, and I'm excited for Anthony Rendon to become a nationally known name.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think he's close to that. He's on the cusp.
Yeah.
Ash?
I think so, too. I mean, I feel like the Nationals are always cursed, forever cursed. They're always going to look decent to great on paper and then just come tumbling down. But maybe this is their year because maybe the Dodgers are taking the curse instead. I'm not sure.
Maybe the whole National League is cursed now. It took all the power to reverse the Cubs curse and now they're just all done.
Yeah.
Re-put
the curse
on. I take it back. We gotta get rid of the Cubs now.
Get them out.
It's not worth it, guys. It's not worth it. It will be interesting to see them. I mean, is it some teams fare better when you're the first to clinch and you're just kind of waiting around playing like maybe nonsense ball. Like maybe they'll just kind of chill out and then I'll ruin them, or maybe they'll play really hard. Who knows? That's just another fun factor in this whole thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, everything starts over once we start get to the postseason. So
I would rather clinch last or get in last. Same. And ride the momentum.
Especially with momentum.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to be sitting back like chilling, twiddling my thumbs. But moving on anyway. So this isn't in the script, but I just realized like this fits in here. So Alexi Lawless called out the United States men's national team, literally every single player on a live broadcast, and I've never seen anything like that. And it was also a little strange because he was saying he's like, we want you to do well, please step up, but I'm gonna call you out. So it was like weird as like a broadcaster journalist, but he is obviously rooting for the men's team, so it was a little strange. But just quickly, your thoughts on that? Any thoughts? Did you see it?
I did see it. I did think it was weird that he was like, oh, tattooed. Like, that has nothing to do with it, Alexi.
Tattooed millionaires.
Tattooed millionaires.
Who's he talking about? Oh, just in general.
Everyone?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Though, as somebody who likes U.S. men's soccer, if we don't qualify for the World Cup, like, I mean, that's embarrassing. It's really embarrassing. Yeah. And the quality of play has been pretty embarrassing.
Yeah.
And I understand him saying we as a former member of the U.S. men's soccer
team.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Now he's on the other side.
Yeah. Though I think in a lot of those cases, I think it's generally like kind of foolish to pretend that these guys who were former athletes on those teams are objective in any way.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Ash, what did you think?
Yeah, I think that, can you think of a more coddled team right now that's doing poorly? It's really like, it's really frustrating. And that's just another part of a nation supporting one team, is that we can all be mad. So I understand the we on both sides, but also soccer especially, and in World Cup especially, that's when entire countries get on one player or one team furiously. So it's kind of like, you know, we're just doing what everyone else does.
He said
really,
what everyone was
if
thinking.
If we don't, exactly, and everyone's like, well, you know, we're pretty new to being good at soccer, so you know, it's a process and this and that or whatever, and we're going to support them no matter what because there's no other teams that we can support or want to support. But if we don't make the World Cup, how crazy would that be? That would be madness. So maybe this will light a fire. I think that's what he's hoping, and maybe now we'll all be like, yeah, we're pissed. You guys should be, like, killing it right now.
I think it'll be really bad for U.S. soccer if the U.S. doesn't make the World Cup.
I agree.
I think so.
Yeah, because interest is, like, growing a lot right now.
Yes,
and I think
it's peaking.
And, like, four years is a long time.
Long time.
So, and no one cares about the Gold Cup or the CONCACAF Cup. So, like, I feel like it would really, like, tank interest in soccer if we didn't qualify.
Yeah.
All right, fingers crossed over here. We didn't talk about Applegate. We didn't talk about Applegate, right?
No.
Okay.
That's funny.
So I guess we'll just quickly gloss over it. So the Red Stockings.
I liked it.
The Red Stockings team. Why can't I speak today? I have paint in my hair. That's probably why. I painted my room this weekend. Anyway.
Good job.
It was not fun. they were stealing signs with Apple Watches from the Yankees. Didn't really matter that much, but they use technology. There's no rule on sign stealing, but there is when it comes to using technology. Just a general thought about it.
I think this story is hilarious.
They got caught.
I think it's funny that they were doing this in the first place. I think it's funny that the Yankees made a huge deal of it. I think it's even funnier that they thought that Doug Fister had a secret service earpiece and it was just a mouth guard. Like, I'm obsessed with every part of this. Just paranoia on every level. It's so good. Oh, it's so funny. That's how I feel about it.
Ash?
I agree. It's very strange and very silly. And also, yeah, it's obvious how paranoid the Yankees are, but why are they paranoid? I don't know. Everything is coming out of kind of left field, you know, with this
but
whole thing.
But then the Red Sox were like, the Yankees used their broadcast to steal our signs. So it was like the he said, she said playground, like kindergarten fight.
Exactly. Maybe they're just like bummed that all the attention's not on them anymore.
It's like, just have a base
coasting.
Brawl. Gary Sanchez will come punch everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, Gary.
Do it like normal adults. Have
I don't
a
know
fight.
What that means.
Come on.
Have a fight. Yeah. Throw punches. All right. Time for fill in the blank. There's some good ones this week. I'm very excited. Let's start with the Dodgers. The Dodgers slump reminds me of blank. Ash.
You know, when I was thinking about this, the first thing I thought of was the Padres slump in 2010 when they were owning the division and then ended up not even making the postseason. So I don't think it's going to be that bad, but that's the immediate thought I go to when I think of slump of all slumps.
That's good. Gemma?
I think of the Mets when I think of slump of all slumps. Ooh. Like losing the last 13 games or whatever and like just not making the – I can't remember what year this was. I was also – that's what I think of when I think of slump of all slumps. I was thinking of more like an emotional metaphor.
Yeah.
It's like when you get an ice cream cone and you lick it once and then it falls on the sidewalk.
Yeah, that's exactly that's what I went with. I went with dropping a piece of pizza on the ground. Yeah. You know, when you get a dollar slice and then it just drops on the ground and you just feel defeated.
And you waited in line for so long because it's 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
It's like that pizza festival that everyone was sad about. This is a New York, very East Coast bias, New York centric thing, but a bunch of people paid $75 for a pizza festival in like an abandoned warehouse lot in Bushwick, and like it was bad. Like, what a surprise.
Shocker. Big shocker there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. The Indians' win streak will reach blank wins. Gemma.
19. It's over. Go Tigers.
Woo. Hot takes. It's Tuesday, by the way. It's Tuesday, everybody. We're recording this on a Tuesday. Ash.
Yes, it is Tuesday. I'm going to say, just to go opposite, 22.
Okay. I'm going with 20 because that's what they need left in their Twitter handle to only have W's. So it says we right now.
Oh, nice. Windians.
Yes. The Windians. That's what I'm going with. All right, Baker Mayfield apologizing. We talked about this a little bit earlier. We didn't dive too deep into it. It's really interesting, though, because this guy is – he's a character. He did get arrested in the offseason. He was down in Arkansas, and he got arrested. He didn't do anything. He was kind of fighting, like arguing with police and talking back, and he got arrested. He's a character, though. He kind of does what he wants. He's got a fire lit under him, a chip on his shoulder, what have you. But, he's a really interesting guy and up for it. I think he's definitely in the Heisman conversation. But Baker Mayfield apologizing for his flag celebration at the end of the Oklahoma-Ohio State game is blank. Gemma.
Lame. Don't apologize.
That's what everyone on Twitter said.
Absolutely. After the OHIO. Are you kidding me? No. Wave that flag. That's great.
Yeah, I was thinking it makes me think that we've become too soft. There's a line.
Yeah.
We cross.
Someone's shook.
Danny's column. Read Danny's column in the New York Post.
The soft serve line. Right. Yeah. Coming to a newsstand near
you. We as society has become too soft. Amazing.
Yeah. All right. Tony Romo's debut as an analyst went blank. Ash.
It seemed like it was okay. So I missed most of the broadcast and I just caught some highlights and stuff and then looked on Twitter and he sounded fine to me and it seemed like no one else really cared that much.
Yeah. Kind of just flew under the radar.
Yeah, exactly. He looks like a broadcaster. I mean, the whole thing is really like, he sounds like one. It really kind of just, he just went right in there and it worked. It's just fluid. It was just fine.
Good word.
Which is the best that you can ask for.
That's the biggest word that's been used in the podcast today so far, Gemma. Well, just to let you know.
Gemma's gonna have one at the end.
Now I'm under pressure. I'm very anxious about it. Yes.
What do you think? Yeah. Tony Romo's debut as an analyst went blank.
I would say normally.
Went normally.
Yeah, that's
is that grammatically correct?
Nah. I mean, it's not incorrect. It's not
football.
It's not what you. It proceeded apace.
It came and it went.
Yes. Nothing happened that was crazy, you know. Right. Like Ashley said, all you want is to sound like you've already been doing it forever.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. Good point.
Yeah.
So I also missed it, but I went back through Twitter too, Ash, and saw it. And I saw this clip. Someone put together a montage. Every time Tony Romo would say, "This is going to happen," it happened. It was the most bizarre thing ever. You have to find this
clip.
How did
I miss that?
I don't know. Okay. I'll try to find it and
Wizardry.
Yeah.
Wizardry.
Man.
What'd you say?
Wizardry.
And magic. Yes. So I heard it went really well. He basically called every play before it happened. It was unbelievable. So, like, his knowledge and understanding of the game is so it's light years ahead, I feel like, of some people. Like, he may not have been able to physically play on the field the way he should have, but, like, his brain and his, like, mental capacity to know so much and anticipate and read – is so incredible. And, like, this is the role for him. I was so impressed by the clips that I was seeing. Again, didn't care to watch, but, like, really cool that he did so well. So good for him. Because you definitely want to see a guy like him succeed in another avenue of the game after watching what happened to him on the field. That's our last one for that. Chips and guac, Ash, you're up because you came up with our word that we would like you to use with your friends and family to impress them and show them that you maybe know something about sports. What do you got, Ash?
Know something. Or just if you hear this a lot and you're not sure what it means, because it can go many ways.
Yeah.
But the word friendly, the term friendly in soccer, basically means an exhibition game. So it's not that, you know, that maybe you're thinking that two teams are not in contention or something, so this game doesn't matter kind of thing. That's not true. This is more of an exhibition game. So now you can understand that word. I didn't know if that was too simple. You know what I mean? Like, is that too obvious?
It's not.
But sometimes the most obvious things are, they can go either way.
Friendly is such an obscure word to describe something in sports.
In sports, yeah.
Because if you don't know anything about sports and someone said, did you see that friendly? I would be like, did I see two friends hanging out? I don't know what you're talking about. It's great.
The amazing hug after the game. Yeah, no.
Loved that hug. This is my favorite. Love a good hug. That's all we have for that. Some shout-outs. Tim Duncan stepping up for his home country after Hurricane Irma ripped through it. Obviously, people are still experiencing effects from that. Harvey has a really long way to go. There's a lot going on right now. It's just you know, we just had 9/11 yesterday, and the Yankees and the Rays are playing at Citi Field because of Hurricane Irma. So there's just a lot of love going on, and it's really nice to see. We talked about it last week. And then we talked about Beth Mowins, which is really cool. And then lastly, anything else you guys want to add to that? Any shout-outs? Any personal shout-outs? Any professional shout-outs that I'm forgetting? No, I put you on the spot. I'm sorry.
I have no shout outs.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
I don't think I have any either.
Okay. I'm going to shout out to Brian Price. Shout out to Brian Price for
I love that clip so much.
Arguing with the umpires and then being kind of like shooed to shut up because the national anthem was being sung.
It was God Bless America.
It was the seventh? Oh, it was? Okay, it was a stretch. All right, my bad. It was a stretch. I don't know my facts. Whatever the situation was. And the umpires were like, shh, be quiet. You can argue in 75 seconds.
It was just automatic. It was great.
It was good.
Take off the hat and then, all right.
I think that one other umpire was like kind of elbowing him. Like,
really?
Later. Like, because you could still see his mouth moving. He's like, dude, shut up. Gemma?
We'll talk about this in a second.
It's funny. Yeah. It's really funny. It was a really funny video.
It was funny. All right. Anything else that I'm forgetting? There's a lot going on. We're going to see if the Dodgers keep losing, if the Indians keep winning. That AL wild card is still up for grabs, obviously. Everyone's in the thick of that race. Anything else? By the way, the Dodgers were like one game away from clinching a wild card spot.
Yeah.
Last week. In case you didn't know, that magic number was down to one for them. So
it's pretty funny.
Yeah. We good?
We're good.
We're good. All right. So that's it for this week. Next week will probably be more fun. So come hang out with us again. Be our friend.
Yay.
We'll talk to you next time.
Now the 2-2. Well hit, Donald.